Tiene nombre de persona buena. Cali, mente, no es como suena.
Sam, that's so mean.
Ok, creo que ya quedó.
Hey Shacky fans, my name is Callie Ingebrigtsen. Welcome to la segunda temporada de Shackypedia, un podcast bilingüe donde haremos un recorrido por la música de Shakira in alphabetical order. Let me introduce you to my co-host Sam.
Hola, hola Shacky fans, yo soy Sam Reds y acompañaré a Callie en esta travesía musical y alfabética por las canciones de Shakira. Habitualmente de cada canción les platicamos sus estadísticas, datos curiosos, analizamos la letra y también abordamos el chismecito que hay detrás. Esta colaboración se ha vuelto todo un fenómeno y en este episodio nos enfocaremos en el análisis de la letra.
In this episode, we'll continue discussing Shakira's collaboration with Bizarrap, Music Sessions 53, which we discussed on our previous episode. Stay tuned to learn all about the meaning behind the lyrics of this record-breaking song, where Shakira throws shade at her ex, Gerard Piqué.
Entendí que no es culpa mía que te critique. Yo solo hago música, perdón que te salpique. Te dejaste de vecina la suegra con la prensa en la puerta y la deuda en hacienda. Te creíste que me heriste y me volviste más dura. Las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres.
Creo que esta vez la letra de esta canción nos da mucha tela de dónde cortar, ¿no crees, Cali?
Yes, absolutely. So I think we should just go line by line through the song and do a deep dive. I have lots of notes, Sam.
Vamos, vamos, vamos.
Lots of notes. Are you ready? Okay. So the very first line of this song, she opens with, perdón, ya cogí otro avión.
Ahí yo tengo dos ideas, pero quiero escuchar primero las tuyas y después hablamos de mis teorías acerca de esa primera línea.
Okay. So the very first word is perdón. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's kind of assuming that there either has already been or might be in the future a time where Gerard will regret what he did. And she's speaking to him hypothetically, assuming that he comes to apologize. And she is the one who says, you know, like, no. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm already done with this. I'm moving on. She's like, oh, excuse me. No, no, no. I'm not getting back with you. What do you think? Why do you think she opens with perdón? That was kind of my assumption.
Sí, yo creo que la está preparando así como para, o sea, no solo por el hecho de que ya lo va a dejar, sino por todo lo que le va a decir enseguida, ¿no? Es como, perdón por todo lo que viene adelante, ¿no? Mm. Ahora, con lo de la ida del avión, aquí tengo dos cosas que comentar. Una es que, como tal, uno de los bienes en común que se estaban disputando ahora en su separación es un avión que compraron entre ellos. Y lo compraron casi al inicio de su relación. Es un avión privado con el cual realizan viajes y que tuvo un costo de $20 millones.
Wow. I didn't know that they owned a plane together.
Y de hecho lo remodelaron. Es un jet modelo Learjet 60XR con capacidad hasta para 10 pasajeros y que lo remodelaron para que sea cómodo también para sus hijos. Y lo que se comenta también es que al final quien más lo utilizó por la cuestión de giras y promoción, bueno, la poca promoción que hizo fue Shakira.
La poca promoción
la
que
verdad.
Hizo. The shade. Ok. Sam.
Entonces, no sé si también se refiere a ese avión, porque te digo, fue lo más sonado que se estaban peleando de sus bienes materiales. Uh-huh. Y la otra idea de ya cogí otra bien, aquí no vuelvo, es que yo siento que para el momento en que ella estaba escribiendo la letra, ya se visualizaba en Miami.
Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's saying, is that she's going to go to Miami, but it's been like several months since they broke up and she's still there. Do you think she's really going to move?
Sí, espero que cuando termine el ciclo escolar.
Okay, that's what I was kind of thinking, yeah, maybe when the school year is over.
El ciclo escolar de aquel colegio tan caro, del cual hablamos en el episodio de Bosch Part 2, por si lo quieren escuchar.
You did some good research on that.
Sí.
And this phrase where she says, ya cogí otro avión, in Mexico, coger means something different
sí.
than other Spanish speaking countries, right? How does that sound to you that she says, ya cogí otro avión?
Sí, suena raro para mí. Sí, suena raro.
Would verdad. You say tomar?
Digamos que mexicanizado quedaría como, perdón, ya tomé otro avión.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering why she didn't
que
say
creo
that.
Que suena mejor. No sé.
Okay. So you would say, ya tomé otro avión?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I know everybody's going to say Callie has a dirty mind. She's always looking for things that aren't there, but I had to ask. Okay.
A mí me recuerda un poquito a la letra de Te Dejo Madrid.
Mm. Which lyric?
Ahí me voy. Ahí te dejo Madrid.
She's always been trying to leave Spain.
algo hay ahí con España que, yeah. no, que no acaba de cuadrar.
Even before she lived there, she was trying to leave Spain. Yeah, she says, aquí no vuelvo, no quiero otra decepción. And that actually reminds me of the lyric in Día Especial, where she says, solo la ilusión trae desilusión. And when she was giving interviews last year about Te Felicito, and they were asking her about the video, they were saying, like, what's up with the robot? And, like, what is the metaphor in the video? And she was basically saying, when you love someone so much, you basically project an idea of who you think they are. And so you have, like, an illusion of who they really are. And so now she's, like, accepting more. Like, I want to be in reality now. You know, and the reality is that this person treated me poorly. So it's time for me to go, and I don't want to come back.
También creo que está diciendo que con Gerard ya no va a volver, ¿no? Puede tomarse en dos sentidos. Que ya no vuelva a España y que ya no vuelve con Gerard, ¿no?
Exactly, yeah, both. She doesn't want to come back to Spain and she doesn't want to come back to the relationship.
Ahora, no quiero otra decepción. Se refiere que ya ha tenido otra decepción. ¿Estás de acuerdo?
Oh, I was just taking it as like this was the one deception and she didn't want more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that there could be others.
O que esta es otra más de las decepciones de Gerard. ¿O cómo tú lo entiendes?
Mm. I had just assumed like the cheating in general was like one big deception. That was more than enough for her. And she's like, okay, I'm leaving. I don't want anything more with you because I've already seen what you're made of. You're treating me poorly. So time to go.
O sea, ¿crees que vino de decepción tras decepción? Y hubo la última, la mortal, que fue... la más clara y que dijo ya con esta no quiero más decepciones. ¿A eso te refieres?
Yeah, basically. I mean, here I would prefer to focus on the actual lyrics of the song. I don't think I need like proof as to what happened because I'm just going to take Shakira at face value and focus on the things that she's saying. But because you asked the question, I will say that Jordi, this paparazzi guy mm-hmm. that has been obsessed with following Shakira for years, he supposedly caught Gerard possibly cheating on her like several years ago and she left one day and was very upset and blah, blah, blah. But for the purposes of this episode, I don't really want to focus on supposedly what happened. So for me, Shakira's just saying with this lyric, you know, things are kind of shitty here. So it's time for me to leave. We don't need to know the details or I don't need to know the details of it. So the next lyric, she says, tanto te las das de campeón. And here she's obviously throwing shade at Gerard for being an excellent soccer player, but a really bad partner.
Sí, le dice, eres mejor jugador de fútbol que pareja.
Mm-hmm.
Que también me recuerda a una de las últimas publicaciones que Shakira hizo sobre él, en donde lo felicita por sus 600 partidos. Que también me resulta curioso que una de las frases que incluye al final es... porque no hay ni habrá otro Gerard Piqué, un ser humano excepcional. Me conflictúa un poco que primero le está diciendo Gerard Piqué, un ser humano excepcional, y acaba diciéndole tanto que te las das de campeón y cuando te necesitaba diste tu peor versión. Ya te lo decía desde el episodio pasado, algo muy fuerte pasó como para que pasemos de decirle eres un ser humano excepcional a decirle tanto que te las das de campeón, ¿no?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. O sea... ¿cómo te diré? Es que sí pasa, o sea, sí le entiendo que a veces tienes a alguien en un concepto muy diferente, ¿no? Con ciertas acciones esa persona te puede decepcionar tanto que se derrumba esa imagen que tienes de esa persona y es horrible.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about how she called him campeón, in the L magazine interview, which we should again put in this episode's notes, they asked her about moving to Barcelona and all of that. And she said, yeah, I put my career in second gear and I came to Spain to support him so he could play football and win titles. And it was a sacrifice of love. Thanks to that, my kids were able to have a present mom, and I have this amazing bond with them that is unbreakable and that sustains us. You know, that's it. That's all I can say.
De hecho, otra de las últimas publicaciones que le dedica Shakira a Gerard es donde también lo felicita por ser el mejor central del mundo mundial. Y cómo pasamos, te digo, de felicitarlo de esta forma a tirarle tanto hate. ¿No?
And that was like March of last year, right? I feel like the timing of that post was really...
Sí, son del año pasado.
Yeah, it's really interesting timing. Well, the next lyric says, y cuando te necesitaba, diste tu peor versión. And here I think Shakira is talking about just the fact that when he left her or when they decided to break up or whatever, that Gerard really left her in a very difficult time in her life because the breakup, as public and as complicated as it is not the only difficult thing going on in her life. For example, she has shared several posts about the fact that her dad's health is declining. We could see through different things on Instagram that she shared that his memory seems to be fading. She was trying to help him remember words. He couldn't remember who she was when she was playing one of her songs. Things like that are extremely difficult to go through, I imagine. And she also had legal issues with the Spanish government because of the whole tax issue, which we will mention more later, but that was difficult as well. So, you know, for him to leave at that time when he supposedly loved her and blah, 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 was just a particularly poor time for him to do all of these things.
Creo que también es un reclamo. Siento que ella también le dice, ojalá me hubieras cortado. O sea, si ya me ibas a cortar, pero me hubieras cortado en otro momento menos vulnerable.
Exactly.
¿No? Tal parece que ella veía en Gerard un apoyo, un hombro en quien llorar, como lo dice en alguna canción, ¿no? Y justamente cuando ella necesitaba de ese hombro para llorar o alguien en quien apoyarse, tan solo a veces hasta con solo que alguien te escuche, ¿no? Y parece que Gerard le dio la espalda. Incluso hasta podría pensar que hasta puede ser que Gerard se haya sentido intimidado, ¿no? Como diciendo, pues yo me voy antes de que los problemas sean más fuertes, ¿no? O sea, me hace pensar muchas cosas, ¿no? También la frase que me hace pensar mucho es cuando le dice, y diste tu peor versión. Siento que ya en 12 años de relación, pues ella lo conocía en muchos aspectos de su vida, ¿no? Y yo siento que ella también, como conocía el lado de luz, ¿no? El lado más amable o más positivo de Gerard. Pero también ella en algún momento ya sabía o ya conocía este lado como oscuro o negativo de Gerard, ¿no? Y también le dice, ups, o sea, ahora que te necesitaba, me mostraste ese lado que no me gusta de ti, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Because these lyrics go together where she says, you go around saying that you're a champion, but when I really needed you, I got your poorest version of you. You know, and so she's basically calling him out and saying, like, everybody thinks that you're the coolest, you're the best soccer player, ooh, you're so successful, blah, blah, blah. But like here in this house, in this relationship, the reality is that the personal version of you was very weak and egotistical, and you just left, you know, when I was in a difficult moment. So there's a better way that you could have gone if you were going to leave. So the next lyric is, sorry, baby, hace rato que yo debí botar ese gato. And I just wanted to call attention to the fact that Shakira only has a few songs where she speaks Spanglish, and especially where she says, sorry, baby. I can't really picture her writing that lyric on her own necessarily. And I remember in the last episode about this song, you mentioned that Shakira working with younger co-writers probably influenced her lyrics. So to me, I'm just assuming that that kind of came from one of the other people who helped her with this song. And it also reminds me of the lyric in Monotonía, where she also says, bebé, but in Spanish, you know, she says, bebé, yo te quiero, pero me quiero más a mí. Just using that language kind of feels like a younger vibe. Like that's mm-hmm. not the lyricism of Shakira on previous albums.
También creo que resalta el hecho que ella quiere que llegar a, también al público joven, ¿no? que se sientan identificados también con su música, con sus letras, ¿no? Y yo siento que en algún momento ella también pensó que a lo mejor su vocabulario no es tan fresco, ¿no? O tan apegado a la cultura de los más jóvenes en estos tiempos.
Mm-hmm, good point. And where she says, hace rato que yo debí botar ese gato. Can we just take a moment to acknowledge that Shakira went from y fue por ti que aprendí a querer los gatos and being una loca con su tigre to wanting to botar ese gato? Like, that is a big change.
También me recuerda este TikTok de un gatito, ¿no? Que le reclama así, ¿por qué no dijiste botar ese perro? ¿Por qué un gato?
Exactly. Yeah, I saw that one too. And also I wanted to share something that our listener Hernan in Colombia said after our last episode. He left us a comment on Instagram where he said, en cuanto a la frase botar ese gato, yo creo que es más parte de lo que aportó Haitín a la letra. Él es paisa, which means he's from Medellín in Antioquia, that area of Colombia. They call people from there paisa. Y ellos usan mucho el término gato para referirse a cierto tipo de hombres. Beyond these specific words, don't you think it's interesting that Shakira says hace rato que yo debí botar ese gato? Like, Shakira was somehow aware that this relationship was not a good fit for her anymore, but she stayed.
Es que si me preguntas a mí, yo creo que desde un inicio, o sea, nada más tuvo que haberse divertido con él.
The next lyric she says, una loba como yo no está pa novato. Yeah, Loba is definitely a reference to her album She Wolf, which came out in 2009 for anybody who hasn't heard that album. And at that time when she was giving interviews about that album and that song, she was saying that a loba was a woman who was free and in touch with her needs and desires. And I really think that it's cool to hear her call herself this when she's 45 and... You know, I think that we had seen her in a role as a mother and just being very happy to be staying at home and not so active in her career anymore. And so I think it's really refreshing to just see her reclaim that title as being like a boss bitch in charge. And she's back with energy and she's connected to her own independence again and that sort of vibe.
Aquí lo que me preocupa un poco es que le diga novato a Gerard, ¿no?
Mm-hmm.
Creo que se tardó un poquito en darse cuenta. Otra vez.
I know, like, it's kind of crazy to think that she went from loving the fact that he was 23 and wrote a whole song about him being 23 when they met. And now she's like, oh no, you're actually like a small child and I'm a grown up woman and I need to be with someone who's on my level.
Que también contrasta con el hecho que en alguna entrevista a él lo describía como un hombre muy maduro, ¿no? Muy centrado, ¿no? Muy concentrado en el deporte y que ahora en realidad lo llame novato.
For me, her using the word novato is kind of referring both to his young age as a partner and also it seems like a term that you would call like a young soccer player.
Sí,
también. Again, it's kind of like the opposite of campeón, you know? Like someone who's just like brand new, you know? So then we get to, I guess, what would be considered the chorus, where she says, una loba como yo no está pa tipos como tú.
And then, ¿Qué tratará de decirle? ¿Que ella es mucha cosa para él? ¿O qué te hace pensar esa parte de la letra?
Well, I think it's interesting that she's saying it in plural, para tipos como tú. Like, she is one person talking about her experience, but she is also kind of sending a message to men in general who behave like this to say, like, this is not fucking acceptable. Like, I'm Shakira Isabel Mebarak Ripoll. Yes, this is just my singular story, but it's kind of a larger commentary about poor behavior and cheating and machismo and, you know, this idea that men can treat women however they want and get away with it. But she's saying, no, 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 no. Like, that's not acceptable for you or other men like you. The next lyric, she says, a ti te quede grande y por eso estás con una igualita que tú.
He esperado mucho tiempo para preguntarte esto. ¿A qué crees que se refiere a una tipa como tú? ¿En qué los está comparando? ¿O qué crees que trata de decir que tienen en común Gerard y Clara?
My interpretation of this lyric is that she's referring to the fact that Clara and Gerard are both willing to engage in cheating. So in that sense, they're the same because they have the same morals or ethical code because they're willing to engage in this. And when the rumors about Gerard cheating first happened, to be honest, I was willing to give the supposed person that he was with a benefit of the doubt for a brief period of time until we started to learn more. Because I thought, okay, I honestly had no idea who the heck he was until he was with Shakira. So if he came to the United States and I met him at a bar, he would mean nothing to me. I wouldn't, don't make that face at me. I would not try to get with him, okay? But I'm just saying I wouldn't have any idea who he was, okay? So I was thinking, oh, maybe she had no idea. But eventually, I mean, with time, and my understanding is that especially in Spain, he is extremely famous. So I think at some point, Clara would have had to known who he was if she didn't know him from the very beginning of the relationship. So that's kind of what I'm assuming that that part is referring to.
Cuando le dice, por eso estás con una igualita que tú, creo que concuerdo contigo. Está comparando los códigos morales, ¿no? O los valores, ¿no?
Also interesting that she says una igualita que tú. To me, that's disrespectful to Clara on purpose. And I know that Shakira has her reasons to be very mad at Clara. But instead of just saying una igual que tú, she's like making her seem even less, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I'm above you and you're even less. And I think that Shakira is doing that for her own ego so that she can feel more confident about her own self-worth. Then we get to another iconic part that has been quoted a lot on social media. And she says, esto es para que te mortifique, maste y trague, trague, mastique.
Creo que eso ya lo habíamos hablado en el capítulo anterior, pero básicamente lo que yo decía es que él se está tragando sus palabras, ¿no? Que se está aguantando todo. Y que creo que al final lo estamos viendo, ¿no? Uh-huh. Como tal, no ha hecho una declaración pública y directa al respecto de la canción.
Okay, the next lyric is, yo contigo ya no regreso, ni que me llores, ni me supliques.
Esta frase me hace pensar que ya Gerard, antes de que confirmara la separación, o que como tal se separaran definitivamente, le había rogado, ¿no?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was assuming kind of at the beginning, where she's like, perdón, ya cogí otro avión. Like, he probably came to ask her or might consider asking her to get back together if he eventually regrets his behavior.
Sí, es una segunda confirmación de que ya no va a volver. Y espero que sí, ya no vuelvan.
Well, the next lyric is, entendí que no es culpa mía que te critiquen. Yo solo hago música, perdón que te salpique.
Yo creo que esta frase se refiere directamente a canciones como Me Gusta, Don't Wait Up, Te Felicito y Monotonía. ¿No crees?
¿En qué way?
Como diciendo, pues yo escribo las letras y pues si las relacionan contigo, perdón, ¿no?
Yeah, one time I heard the phrase in English, everybody is 100% responsible for their 50% of any relationship. And so I think by saying, entendí que no es culpa mía que te critiquen. She's saying, I'm responsible for my half of this relationship. What you did is your responsibility. And if people are going to talk shit about you, that's because of your behavior, not mine. And in the interview that we keep referencing, where Kaitin did a long extended interview specifically about this song, he said that the original lyric that he proposed for this part of the song was, a ese ají le falta más pique. And ají in Colombia is like a spicy chili. So he was the one who proposed that specific lyric. He said that Shakira came to the writing session with certain topics that she wanted to include. So perhaps it was her idea that they mention him specifically. But he said in terms of how to include Piqué or Gerard's name, that was the original phrase or one of the original ideas that he had mentioned. Instead of perdón que te salpique, it could have been a ese ají le falta más Piqué.
Por lo que entiendo entonces, siempre fue idea de Shakira mencionar a Gerard. Y aclara, lo que hacían Kaitín y Pisa es proponerle diferentes letras, ¿no?
And so our listener Cito, who's from Spain, he wrote on Twitter, he said, soy el único que cree que el sonido que se escucha cuando dice salpique es un bote de mermelada abriéndose. Then the next lyric is, me dejaste de vecina la suegra.
Ah, ahora sí investigué muy bien porque solo menciona a la suegra. Ya ves que teníamos ahí un debate de por qué mencionó suegra y no suegro o suegros. Pero el hecho es que en esa casa que está junto a la casa de Shakira, solo vive la señora Montserrat. Los papás de Gerard también están separados. Entonces, quien habita esa casa es solamente la señora. Entonces, me imagino que por eso también solo hace mención a ella. Y que también, pues, digo, hemos visto que se revivió este video donde vemos a la señora Bernabéu sostener de la cara a Shakira, hacerle una seña como callándola, aparte de lo que ya sabíamos que ella fue la que le sugirió que se cortara el cabello. Entonces, entre que solamente es ella quien vive al lado de la casa y entre a lo mejor, quién sabe qué tantas cosas pasaron entre ellas que no sabemos, pues sí se merecía la mención. ¿O tú qué piensas?
So maybe we're talking about the same video or a different video, but what I remember of that video is she's looking down slightly and she puts her finger up to her mouth and it looks like she is telling someone to be quiet. And then she looks at Shakira. It's very subtle because the video is from kind of far away. But I do think that some fans have been unnecessarily disrespectful to Gerard's mom based on that video alone. And like you said, we will never know the full truth, but it is interesting to know that it's just Gerard's mom that lives there. And something kind of crazy and unexpected that happened since we recorded the last episode to now is that whole thing with like the witch that Shakira put, or her friends possibly put, or someone put on her balcony facing Gerard's mom's house. And the whole thing with the witch happened on the same day that in the evening Shakira was celebrating with her friends. So I don't really know if like her friends put it as a joke or if Shakira put it or something, but it is kind of funny. I never really would have expected Shakira to do that because it seems kind of petty and immature, but who knows? What did you think of that whole thing with the witch?
No sé, pero creo que sí es una forma de decirle, dos brujas se están viendo fijamente, no sé.
¡Wow!
Sí, pero ¿estás de acuerdo que si no hubiera algo negativo o algo, no habría necesidad de haber mencionado a la suegra? O sea, siento que sí, por ahí hay algo y aprovechó Shakira también para darle, no sé, una lección. No sé. Sí, o sea, siento que no es para que rimara la canción o algo así. O sea, algo pasó que la suegra se ganó su mención en la sesión de Bizarrap.
My assumption is that it was just like one more factor of the breakup that makes Gerard look bad. Like, it's uncomfortable that Shakira has to live next to her.
Sí, sí. O sea, me queda claro que también por algo ha de ser incómodo tenerla como vecina, ¿no? Que también tú recordarás que se rumoró que pues la señora ya sabía de esta relación de Gerard con Clara y que lo permitía y bueno, todo esto.
So many Shaki misterios regarding this. And just for people who don't know, Shakira and Gerard's house in Barcelona was kind of part of like three plots of land kind of in one little area. There was Shakira and Gerard's house, which is now apparently just Shakira's. And then as you're saying, on one side, it's the mother-in-law's house. And then there's a kind of empty plot on another side of the house where it seems like Shakira's parents were intended to build a house too. And you can Google for videos to see the layout, but they're all kind of three together.
Y como alguna vez lo mencionábamos, ¿no? El hecho de que Shakira quisiera construirles a sus papás una casa también ahí en Barcelona, era como una visión a futuro, ¿no? O sea, yo creo que ella se veía para siempre con Gerard, ¿no? Para tomar estas decisiones. Ahora, lo que se supo es que más bien lo que mandó construir es un muro que separara su casa de la suegra, ¿no? Porque como bien podemos ver, están conectadas como por una parte del jardín, ¿no?
Yeah, I think that wall, though, was like already there.
Pero había un acceso. O sea, lo que mencionas es que hay un acceso a la altura del jardín.
Okay.
Y creo que esa fue la parte que ella mandó a levantar una barda.
Okay. I wasn't really sure about that. So, okay, continuing with this part. She says, con la prensa en la puerta y la deuda en Hacienda. Okay. Regarding this, I wanted to mention a quote from the Elle magazine interview that Shakira did in 2022, where she said, I'm in the public eye and our separation is not like a regular separation. And it's been so tough, not only for me, but also for my kids. Incredibly difficult. I have paparazzi camping outside in front of my house 24/7. And there's not a place where I can hide from them with my kids, except for my own house. You know, we can't take a walk in the park. like a regular family, or go have an ice cream or do any activity without paparazzi following us. So it's hard. And I've tried to conceal the situation from my kids. I try to do it to protect them because that's my number one mission in life. But then they hear things in school from their friends, or they come across disagreeable, unpleasant news online, and it just affects them, you know? And Kaitien also said that there's always like 5 paparazzis outside Shakita's house at all times, and that you can feel the vibe inside the house. He said when he would leave from the writing sessions that you would just like see the cameras like immediately like come and turn on him. So people have been basically outside of her house, I'm assuming for a long time since she lived in Barcelona, but especially now that there's a lot of attention on her. And I can't imagine how difficult that is for her alone, and then also her as a mom, and then also wanting to have friends over or her parents. It's just like a lot. It probably affects a lot of dynamics for her that we can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, es como el otro día también me lo comentabas, ¿no? O sea, ¿tú qué sentirías que alguien estuviera ahí afuera de tu casa esperando? Es incómodo, ¿no?
Totally.
O sea, si lo ponemos desde esa perspectiva, a nadie le gusta que estuviera ahí afuera de su casa, ¿no? Viendo qué haces, quién entra, quién sale. Mm-hmm. Y creo que si ya había prensa, tú sabes que después de esta canción, creo que hubo más prensa, más fans. Ahora ya hasta es un spot turístico, ¿no? Su casa se convirtió en eso.
I think that that's why later in the song she says that she feels like a hostage, un rehén.
Ahora, es que sí es incómodo. Imagínate que no pueda ni salir ni a la, ni a la ventana o al balcón, ¿no? Porque siempre la están observando.
I'm sure that there's a lot of dynamics that we take completely for granted because we're not famous. Just the ability to leave your house, go grab a drink or dinner with your friends, go do groceries, you know, go to the gym, go for a walk, listen to a podcast, go to the park. All of these things that for us are very simple because we're not public figures, you know, are things that I'm sure that we take completely for granted on a daily basis. But to Shakira, they probably would feel like luxuries if she was able to do them. But that's just not the reality for her anymore at this level of fame.
Bueno, tú ya eres un poco famosa y un poco pública, ¿eh?
¿Tú crees?
No te sorprenda que alguna vez aquí en el supermercado de aquí cerca alguien te reconozca.
And the second part of that lyric, so she says, con la prensa en la puerta y la deuda en Hacienda. I think we have to talk about the second half of that lyric, about her tax situation in Spain.
Ay, es que yo, por ejemplo, leí esta nota que hizo El País, de donde salió este sobrenombre de...
¿Sila Prieto?
Sila Prieto, sí. Recuerdo que leí detenidamente ese artículo del periódico El País, que es un periódico español. Y llevaban, ¿no?, como toda la cronología de la estancia de Shakira en territorio español y todo esto. Que la verdad, es que no sé qué creer, ¿no? O sea, necesitaría incluso saber un poco sobre contabilidad española o algo así, ¿no? Como para entender lo que está pasando. Pero creo que en algún momento también yo te lo había dicho. En México también pasa que ocupan estas figuras públicas como ejemplo para los ciudadanos, ¿no? Tratando de mandar un mensaje de si a Shakira la hacemos pagar impuestos, o sea, que no, que tú no te vas a salvar, ¿no? Si vamos tras una figura como ella, pues cuídate, ¿no? De a ti que eres un ciudadano común, ¿no? ¿Por qué te lo digo? Porque en México ha pasado, ¿no? Han usado figuras como Juan Gabriel, Paquita la del Barrio, que vamos a hablar más adelante de ella, ¿no? Como para dar un ejemplo a la sociedad de que nadie se puede librar de pagar sus impuestos. Y te digo, es un tema complejo, que por ahí también alguien nos ha dicho que le dediquemos un episodio especial, pero ¿qué tanto es verdad? ¿Qué tanto es mentira? Está complicado de saberse. Que el hecho que Shakira lo mencione quiere decir que sí hay un problema como tal, pero no sabemos si es como de la magnitud que lo pintan los medios, o también en algún momento supimos que ya había pagado. Entonces, de que hay un problema con Hacienda, lo hay. De que ella es el culpable o que ella deba X cantidad de dinero, no lo sabemos.
Yes, I agree with you that it's a very complicated situation. And in that same article that you were just referencing, they explained that in order to be considered a tax resident of Spain, you have to have lived there more than half of the year, which according to the Spanish tax code, they define as being there for 6 months and 1 day. So if you divide 365 days of the year in half, that gives you 182.5 days. Would be exactly half, but you have to have been in Spain for more than half of the year to be considered a tax resident and owe taxes in Spain. So you would have to have lived in Spain 183 days of the year. And I found a quote in that Elle interview that Shakira gave where she discussed the tax situation. And she said, "Well, Gerard and I were dating. I was on a world tour. I spent more than 240 days outside of Spain. So there was no way I qualified as a resident. The Spanish tax authorities saw that I was dating a Spanish citizen and started to salivate. It's clear they wanted to go after that money no matter what. Even for the next few years, I was traveling the world, working nonstop while I was pregnant or with Milan as a baby, when my C-section had barely closed. They knew that I wasn't in Spain the required time, that Spain wasn't my place of work or my source of income, but they still came after me with their eyes on the prize." And then they asked her why she wanted to resist the whole situation and actually just go through a court proceeding rather than just paying the money. And she said, "Because I have to fight for what I believe, because these are false accusations. First of all, I didn't spend 183 days per year at that time at all. I was busy fulfilling my professional commitments around the world. Second, I've paid everything they claimed I owed even before they filed a lawsuit. So as of today, I owe zero to them. And finally, I was advised by one of the four biggest tax specialist firms in the world, Price Waterhouse Coopers. So I was confident that I was doing things correctly and transparently from day one." How much of this is true, we don't know, because I've heard several rumors about extremely wealthy celebrities being able to strike special deals with governments in order to pay less taxes. So I don't think that even if Shakira does owe taxes, that it would be what the average citizen would pay. But I agree with you. In some level, I think that they're probably trying to make an example of her so that regular citizens are kind of afraid. Like, oh shit, if even Shakira could supposedly go to prison over this tax debt, then what am I supposed to do? I should do things correctly.
Que al final también esto es una situación muy ligada a su relación con Gerard, ¿no? El hecho de que ella se estableciera en España, pues es consecuencia de esta relación con Gerard. Y creo que, pues, es un daño colateral después de todo esto. O sea, imagina que tú, por establecerte con tu pareja, te venga esta consecuencia, ¿no?
I think it's very complicated because I definitely remember listening to interviews where Shakira, around the time that the album Sale el Sol came out, she was definitely saying like, oh, I'm living in Spain, I moved to Barcelona, yay, I love it here, and all this stuff. But now when it's time for them to break up and there's all these tax problems, she's like, no, I was living in the Bahamas, ha ha. But it's like, it's very complicated. It's definitely very complicated. And I know that there are certain dates that were like unaccounted for in that article that you mentioned where they like tracked her every day, where I think she began to work on the self-titled album, where it seemed like she, her home base or her actual residence would have been in Barcelona. But where I was told by my Shaki bestie, Marcelo, he said that a lot of the self-titled album was actually recorded in France. So then she technically wasn't in Spain, but that's also part of the European Union. So I don't know. I love personal finance and I actually had a job with taxes for 11 tax seasons. So I love learning about these topics, but in Spain, it's totally different than in the United States. So I'm not entirely sure how all of this works.
Muchas veces también ha ocurrido que estas empresas que asesoran a estas figuras no son totalmente honestas con ellos, ¿no? O sea, una cosa es que ella haya contratado a lo mejor a una empresa para llevar sus finanzas, su contabilidad, pero de ahí también a que la empresa lo haya hecho correctamente, tampoco sabemos, ¿no? Y que tampoco es que la exime de la culpa, ¿no? Por así decirlo. Pero, o sea, es un tema bastante complicado y del cual yo creo que pasado algunos años sabremos todo.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the financial responsibility and the legal responsibility of her taxes falls to her, even though she had these other people giving her advice. Unfortunately, that's just the way that it works.
Que no sé, a lo mejor tú sabes más de ese tema, pero como tal, o sea, Shakira es una empresa y que a lo mejor y es como quien debería de pagar los impuestos es la empresa o la marca Shakira, ¿no? No como tal la persona Shakira, ¿no?
Then we continue with the line, te creíste que me heriste y me volviste más dura.
Fíjate que después del último episodio estuve analizando mejor las cosas y creo que esta letra también me gustó mucho. Te creíste que me heriste y me volviste más dura. Porque al final creo que también deja ver que de alguna forma Gerard creyó que ella nunca se iba a recuperar de esto, ¿no? Volviendo al ejemplo, ¿no? De llevándole un plano más personal. Te da pena a veces contarle a tus amigos que ya terminaste una relación. Ahora imagínate ser Shakira y que toda tu vida esté en medio del ojo público, que tu ruptura se vuelva mundialmente conocida. O sea, no me quiero imaginar qué pasa por la mente de ella, ¿no? Antes de hacer público todo esto. Y yo creo que sí. A lo mejor puede ser que Gerard en algún momento le llegó a comentar, ¿no? Así como de, con esto yo creo que se acabó, ¿no? O sea, no creo que te recuperes de esta caída o incluso esta humillación pública, ¿no? No sé cómo explicarlo, porque sí ha de ser difícil. Porque como tú lo dices, al principio de la relación ella se veía tan enamorada, tan segura de Gerard, lo presumía, dejó todo de lado y que de repente, pues que no haya funcionado, sí ha de ser un golpe muy, muy fuerte para el ego incluso, ¿no? Pero pues tal parece que no, que ya supo aprovechar de esta situación y a veces sirve tocar fondo porque te puedes impulsar y salir a flote.
Once I heard the phrase something like, when you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere to go but up.
Tienes dos opciones, te quedas en el fondo o utilizas el fondo para impulsarte.
Totally. I think a lot of fans, perhaps myself included, last year when Monotonía came out, we thought, okay, well, that's kind of the end of this topic, or maybe that is all we are going to hear about in terms of their breakup and everything. And it's, I mean, she is saying you left me because you're egotistical in that song. So there are lyrics that are very pointed and direct at Gerard in that song, but it is kind of like sad. You know what I mean? Like it's a more gentle metaphorical song, whereas here she's being a bit more direct. So it is kind of interesting to see that contrast between those songs. But now we know through Kaitin's interview that those were written even before they officially broke up. So she had more time to process a lot of her emotions, I'm assuming, between when those songs came out, Te Felicito, specifically in Monotonía.
Pues yo creo que si esto hubiera sido tan inmediato, ¿no? Asumiendo el orden de los sencillos como fueron lanzados, no creo que haya sido tan fácil, ¿no? Esa recuperación sí llevó un tiempo, pero qué bueno que al final, como dice el dicho también, ¿no? Lo que no te mata te hace más fuerte. Y creo que en esta ocasión ella sí se volvió más fuerte. O tal vez no más fuerte, pero sí más madura, ¿no? Y se dio cuenta de muchas cosas. Que creo que eso es lo importante. Más que estas heridas no te maten, más bien aprendizaje, las lecciones. Creo que eso es lo importante al final de este tipo de situaciones. Ahora llegamos a tu frase favorita, ¿no? Las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres
facturan. Yeah, there's a lot that we could say about this lyric. I mean, this lyric I think has been probably the most popular from the whole song. Or at least I've seen it all over the internet.
El Twitter explotó con esta frase. Sobre todo porque a muchas mujeres les llegó, ¿no?
Yeah, I think it was very smart of her to say this in plural rather than singular. Instead of saying, yo ya no lloro, yo facturo, she's saying, las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres facturan. So kind of connected to what I was saying earlier about some of her posts. This is specifically talking to women about women's experiences and helps other women relate to this lyric instead of if she had said it just for herself.
Sí, creo que está dando como un consejo, así como, chicas, hermanas, ya no lloren, o sea, no vale la pena. O sí lloren, pero aprovechen la situación para, ¿no?, sacarle provecho.
I will say that Kaitin said he was the one who wrote this lyric, which kind of made me disappointed because I wish I would have known that it came directly from Shakira. Now that I've had a little bit more time to process this song and this lyric specifically, I do think that this lyric is a little bit privileged because only few women will be able to financially benefit from a breakup. Like Shakira has a massive platform with millions of listeners. She's been breaking records with streaming numbers and all of that. And, you know, the average woman is not going to be able to have financial benefit from a breakup. In fact, many women end up in a worse financial position after a breakup. than they were when they were with someone. So I just think it's important to be realistic. Like, I love this lyric and I'm obsessed and it really has hit me and I connect with it, because I think that if you think of the essence of what she's saying, you know, like, hey, women, even if you go through something difficult, try to channel it in a positive way and keep moving forward. But if we look at it, what she's saying like women can make money through their breakups, or women can be in a better position after they go through something difficult. And that's just not always the case. Like, I've heard people calling this song and specifically this lyric a very feminist anthem. And sure, it's feminist if you have a huge platform and you already have, you know, tons of followers or another way to make money through a breakup. So I don't know. I'm obsessed. Don't get me wrong. I still love it. But I don't think it's like realistic to say that like every woman is going to be better financially speaking through breakups.
Como lo mencionas, sí se reduce a un grupo muy pequeño, muy privilegiado, porque podría relacionarse básicamente a aquellas cantantes que escriben sobre sus experiencias.
Yeah, or like other celebrities that have another outlet, like maybe actresses or writers or poets or people who have some way of making money. I mentioned on the previous episode that my professional background is in personal finance. And so as a financial coach, through all of my studies, I've learned about something really important that I wanted to mention that's called the gender pay gap. I don't know what it's called in Spanish. Una brecha de ingresos.
Brecha de género.
Ajá. Entre hombres y mujeres and other genders.
Que de hecho en Hollywood fue todo un escándalo en los últimos años.
Yeah, it affects all sorts of industries. There is just so much data about this, and I just wanted to include that most women earn less than most men. It's not the case for every single person, of course, but because of patriarchy and because women have not been allowed to work legally, at least in the United States, in most industries in the same way that men have. And if you Google simply gender pay gap, you can start to learn about this topic yourself. But in the United States, at least, there have been a lot of systemic barriers that have prevented women from earning the same amount of money as men. And of course, this does not apply to every single man and every single woman. I know, for example, my mom earned more money than my dad because she got a master's and she stayed at the same job. And I mean, there's lots of factors. So it's not saying that every single person is going to be in this situation, but because of the gender pay gap, most women have less income than men. And it's not the exact same for every single woman. I know that Hispanic women, for example, make less than white women in the United States. Black women make less. Native American women make even less. So there's a lot that could be said about this. But I just think a simple statement about saying, oh, women, don't cry anymore. You're going to make money. It's just kind of like not representative of every single woman's experience. And I even looked, there's data available online about the gender pay gap in several countries, including Spain and including Colombia, that show that women earn less than men on average in these countries. So in the United States, I think it's something like white women typically earn like 75 or 80% of white men, and it's even less for women of color. So I'm not trying to make this a whole TED talk, but it's just something to mention. You know what I mean? Again, I'm obsessed with this lyric. I think this lyric is kind of saying this doesn't have to be the end of the story. It's kind of like related to that lyric where she says to women in her caption of that Instagram post, like, even if you go through something difficult, las mujeres hemos de levantarnos 70 veces 7. Like, I think that that's kind of what she's saying with las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres facturan. Like, find a way to keep moving forward. But financially speaking, that's not always going to be the reality for every woman. And I still enjoy this lyric. I just needed it to be a little bit more realistic, because I think when I first heard the song, I was like, oh my God. But then as I've had more time to process it, it's like, wait. I think there's more to say about this.
Que mira, al final yo creo que la gente sí lo entiende, porque he visto muchas publicaciones que mencionan esta letra diciendo, ojalá yo pudiera facturar como Shakira sobre sus rupturas. Pero creo que se entiende que no todos tenemos ese privilegio, como tú decías. Ojalá pudiéramos sacarle provecho a estas situaciones y que mayor provecho que sea un económico, pero bueno, a veces solo algunas personas nos queda el aprendizaje.
Sam, I had actually seen that Forbes even started talking about this.
Sí, hay una nota de Forbes de Colombia que menciona algo relacionado a esta parte de la letra. Dice, en las listas de millonarios del mundo hay cada vez más mujeres. Según el ranking Billionaires 2022 de Forbes, Las 10 más adineradas suman una fortuna de 401 mil millones de dólares. Aunque quienes encabezan el listado han heredado su dinero. Hay otras billionaires que han hecho su fortuna a pulso, como la fundadora del emporio de suministros para techos y construcciones ABC Supply, Diane Hendricks, con una fortuna de 12.200 millones de dólares. También está Judy Faulkner, fundadora de Epic Systems, la firma de registros médicos electrónicos, con 6.700 millones en la cuenta de dólares. En la lista también está la cantante Rihanna, Kylie Jenner y Madonna.
Wow. I think it's interesting to note that most of the billionaires on that list that are women that you just mentioned inherited their wealth, which means that there are still a lot of barriers for women to have their own wealth. Like, I think it was 1974 in the United States when a man no longer had to approve a woman's business loan application. And it was like in the 1950s or 60s or something when finally women could open their own checking accounts. I saw a tweet recently where someone who I think was a boomer, meaning that they're probably like 50 or 60 in the United States, asked the question, why are younger generations not getting married or staying married as long as previous generations? And this younger woman quoted the tweet and she replied, because women can have their own bank accounts now. So there's just a lot that could be said about women and finance and the history of all of these things. So if anybody wants to talk about this, send us a DM on Instagram or Twitter, because I would love to talk with you about personal finance and all of these topics.
Y creo que al final también es un recordatorio hacia Gerard que ella tiene muchísimo más dinero que él, ¿no?
See ya later, Gerard.
Ahora vamos a la siguiente frase, que también es una de las más recordadas, memorables, polémicas, cuando dice, tiene nombre de persona buena, claramente no es como suena. Pero creo que tú habías investigado algo, ¿no? Relacionado al nombre de Clara.
Yes, I looked up the meaning of Clara. And the name means pure, transparent, shiny, bright, which is kind of ironic for Shakira, because somebody who is so shiny and bright actually caused the breakup of her relationship. So, yeah, there's also a saint that was called Saint Claire, Saint Clara. And so I think that that is what Shakira is making a reference to in the video where she is saying Clara's name and putting her hands together and bowing forward. She's kind of mocking or making a joke at the fact that someone who has the name of a saint was doing something that a saint shouldn't be doing, right? Which is cheating.
Básicamente nos dice que el nombre no tiene nada que ver con la persona.
Exactly.
O cómo se comporta o cómo se ha comportado.
My Shaki bestie, Luik, from Switzerland, he also told me that Chia, her last name, is past tense of the French verb chier. I'm assuming that that's how you pronounced it, which actually means to shit. Oh. So thank you, Luik, for that detail. So then this part mentioning Clara continues. She says, tiene nombre de persona buena, claramente. And Kaitin said that it was actually Shakira's idea to specifically mention Clara in this interview by name. And I think it's interesting because Raúl also uses the word claro in Te Felicito. He says, hablándote claro, no te necesito. And Shakira says in Obtener un Sí, te quiero porque eres claro, claro, claro como la planta de mis pies. Which is a super random lyric that I will have questions for you about when we get to that song, but just related words.
Y vuelve a repetir, ¿no? Es igualita que tú, pa tipos como tú. Está diciendo que son tal para cual. Y vuelve a repetir el coro, antes te quede grande y por eso estás con una igualita que tú. Y creo que llegamos a la parte donde hace como un rap. Del amor a lo de un paso.
Yeah, this part is very rhythmic.
Y vaya que del amor a lo de un paso, ¿eh? O sea, me sorprendió.
Totally. This is like in the previous episode, I mentioned how when the song came out, the first text that you sent me was, how did we get from Me Enamoré to this? It's like, wow, it's 12 years, but at the same time, it feels like a blink of the eye. It went so fast. This lyric makes me think of her song, Que Vuelvas, because she says, yo quiero que vuelvas, que te están reclamando mis labios que hace tiempo no besas. Yo quiero que regreses. And here she's saying the opposite, like, don't you dare come back. Like, listen up, pay attention. I don't want you to be here. Get away from me.
También me da la impresión que ella ya no quiere saber nada de él. O sea, ni siquiera quiere verlo, ¿no? Y platicábamos un poco de eso. Se han encontrado, han coincidido en eventos, sobre todo de Milan, y pues los vemos cada quien por su lado.
It's different than, for example, si te vas, where she says, si te vas, mi cielo se hará gris. Here, there's none of that. She's like, I want you to go away and like literally never come back. Then she continues, cero rencor, bebé. Yo te deseo que te vaya bien con mi supuesto reemplazo.
Creo que está siendo sarcástico. O sea, si, si analizamos bien la letra, si hay un poquito de rencor. ¿O tú qué piensas?
Un poco, bastante. Yeah, she's definitely still upset.
Pero me encanta esa parte en el video de cero rencor. O sea, ¿qué hace el cerito con su mano? Y también visa atrás.
I love that lyric.
Pero sí, o sea, definitivamente es puro sarcasmo el cero rencor.
Yeah.
Obviamente hay rencor.
She's making fun of herself, I think, almost.
Ajá. De hecho, incluso como lo canta, es así como cero rencor, ¿no? O sea, es así como, ¿no?
I love that part of the video where she says, te deseo que te vaya bien con mi supuesto reemplazo. Like, she looks so confident there. She's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to be with someone else, that's fine.
Sobre todo que le dice con mi supuesto. O sea, ella está segura que es irreemplazable, como también cantaba en alguna ocasión Beyoncé.
Nice. Then she says, no sé ni qué es lo que te pasó. Estás tan raro que ni te distingo. Well, she says it with her accent. She says it very fast. No sé ni qué es lo que te pasó. Estás tan raro que ni te distingo.
Claramente, ella está sorprendida del cambio que hubo con él. Yo creo que ni ella se lo esperaba. También esta parte de estás tan raro que ni te distingo me recuerda todas esas selfies que empezó a subir Gerard a partir de algún tiempo durante la pandemia y parte del año pasado. Solo eran selfies de él con una cara medio rara. Pero sí, o sea, no sé. No se me hace normal esta actitud que empezó a tener. Y que también tú recuerdas, o sea, Shaki siempre era la que lo presumía, la que subía historias o fotos con él, y él de repente subía una que otra publicación con ella, y de repente todas estas fotos nada más de él. Creo que sí empezó a portarse raro, quién sabe, solamente ellos saben.
Mm-hmm. That man was mediocre at best. I never followed him because I didn't find him interesting at all. And like you said, he didn't really post any Shakira-related content, so there was no real reason for me to follow him. So whatever. But I imagine that must be extremely difficult talking about the lyric where she says, like, I don't even know what happened. Like, you're so weird. I don't even recognize you. Like, to feel that someone that you've been with for 12 whole years, you created a family with, you spent so much time with, you changed your whole life from traveling to move to Spain. When exactly? We don't know because she's still discussing that with the Spanish government. But obviously a lot of her life was based around being with him. So I imagine that must be very heartbreaking to feel that someone who used to be, you know, your partner, your closest confidant, all of a sudden is someone who you don't even recognize. So my heart breaks for her because that just must be a very challenging thing to go through.
Pues seguimos con la letra donde dice yo valgo por 2 de 22. ¿Qué te pareció esta letra, Sam?
Otra referencia directa a Clara, porque sabemos que creo que este año ya tiene 23 años, pero creo que cuando se conocieron Clara y Gerard, ella tenía 22 años.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've read. And I think it's super iconic that this lyric is specifically at 2 minutes and 22 seconds in the song. And this is in the music video when she's also making the twos with her hands, like Gerard used to do on the soccer field. And if we remember, both of their birthdays is February 2nd. So I think that there is a lot of symbolism in this.
Pero entonces, ¿crees que lo decía porque lo de 2 de 22?
I think that she was saying that because she was 44 at the time when the rumors about the cheating were, which was like last year, 2022. And so I'm assuming that she was kind of saying, like flipping it on her head. Like our friend Trey, who makes YouTube videos, he'll react to a lot of Shakira content. And he said that Shakira is saying that she's worth two 22-year-olds. And society is very discriminatory against women. It's very ageist. And so she's actually changing that feeling, that sentiment, and saying, you know, I'm actually worth more, which is the opposite of what society likes to think. When women get older, they have less value. We are very critical of elder women. But here Shakira saying, no, I'm worth twice as much because I have more experience. I value myself more. I'm more established. I'm more well-known, I'm at a better place in my life, all of that. Something else I wanted to mention too is that in Shakira's Instagram post, celebrating the success of the song. She said that she didn't expect this song to go number one worldwide when she was 45. So I think that she is even admitting to the fact that she feels a little insecure about her age. But here in this lyric, she was feeling confident in that moment. And I also think it's kind of funny that Shakira wrote a whole song called 23, which, if you remember, Sam, was our very first episode ever, ever, ever. And that was all about loving a younger man and how she thought that it was so good that he was so young. And now she's like over it, you know, calling him a novato and saying that she's better than someone who's 22.
Bueno, Cali, entonces vamos con la siguiente parte de la letra.
The next line, she says, cambiaste un Ferrari por un Twingo. And then followed by, cambiaste un Rolex por un Casio. Those lyrics kind of go together. So those are very quoted, very popular parts of the song on social media. I think it's gotten a lot of attention. What do you think of those lyrics, Sam?
Pues creo que se está comparando con Clara, ¿no? Mm-hmm. Y creo que atribuye que un Ferrari y un Rolex son mejores. Que al final lo que intenta decir es que cambió algo valioso, ¿no? Por algo no tan valioso. O que no se da cuenta que a lo mejor pueden servir tanto el Ferrari y el Twingo para lo mismo como el Rolex y el Casio, que tienen las mismas funcionalidades, pero que uno es más valioso que el otro.
Mm-hmm. From what I read, I guess that Gerard is very obsessed with cars and fancy watches. I did no research on that. I've just seen people mention it, but I guess that that's like something that he's really interested in. So she probably chose those things specifically. And I honestly didn't even know the brand Twingo before this song. Had you heard of that?
No, tampoco. Creo que en México no venden Twingo.
Okay. I think it's a French or a European brand. And I actually saw this like feminist author from Catalonia say that she didn't like that Shakira was comparing herself to Ferraris and Twingos because she felt that it was like devaluing women. But from what we know, or from what I've heard, I guess, but since supposedly Gerard is obsessed with these two types of objects, I guess that's why Shakira specifically chose it. And she wanted to make a point like about that specifically.
Sí, creo que su intención es que Gerard entendiera de lo que se estaba hablando.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to thank my Shaki bestie, David, because he told me that Shakira actually was a brand ambassador for Twingo momentarily in Colombia. I guess they sponsored one of her early concerts in 1995. And they gave her a Twingo to use in Barranquilla. And I have a quote here. They said, Shakira fue la embajadora del lanzamiento de Twingo en Colombia en 1995. De hecho, le regalaron un carro nuevo, Twingo, que lo trasladó a Barranquilla y lo siguió usando desde la fecha al año 2000, en los diciembre que cada vez venía a la ciudad. Twingo también fue patrocinador junto con Coca-Cola al primer concierto masivo de Shakira en Bogotá. So it's kind of funny that she mentioned that brand specifically when I guess they sponsored some of her early concerts.
Pero yo creo que en realidad no es como tirarles hate, ¿no? Simplemente rimaba.
Yeah, I don't think it was like something specific. It was more at Gerard. Mm-hmm. And this again is her trying to protect her ego and make her feel like she's superior than Clara.
Porque desde como lo que mencionas, si él es un experto en relojes o le gustan las marcas de autos caros y de relojes caros, pues yo creo que él entendería fácilmente la referencia, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he got that, exactly.
Que también, no sé si recuerdas que vimos una foto de cuando Shakira adolescente portando un Casio.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that photo.
Sí.
Okay, funny. I also didn't really know that brand Casio. I had seen those style of watches, obviously, but I never knew what kind of brand it was because it's so common. I was just like, oh, whatever, it's a watch. But I guess I don't pay attention to brands very much. The next lyric then goes, vas acelerado, dale despacio, ah, mucho gimnasio, pero trabajo el cerebro un poquito también. And I think in our previous episode, you said that you were going to mention something about a rumor that maybe Gerard doesn't actually work out that much.
Lo que te iba a contar es algo relacionado a la videoreacción de Ibai. Ibai sabemos que es amigo muy cercano de Gerard y también es socio de la Kings League. Y él tiene esta costumbre de hacer reacciones de las colaboraciones de Visa. Y de hecho muchos lo cuestionaban si en esta ocasión que la colaboradora iba a ser Shakira, él iba a hacer su videoreacción. Y de hecho sí. Al momento del estreno del video y de la canción, él hizo su streaming y justamente iba analizando, al igual que nosotros, parte por parte de la letra. Cuando llega la parte donde menciona Shakira, que Gerard mucho gimnasio, Ibai mencionó que en todo este tiempo que lleva conociendo a Gerard, él nunca ha ido al gimnasio.
¿A poco?
Uh-huh. Él dijo que de todos los tipos que conoce, Gerard es el que menos hace gimnasio. O que él sepa, nunca ha ido a un gimnasio. Aunque yo creo que más bien Shakira tal vez se refiere a que hace mucho ejercicio, no propiamente en el gimnasio. Porque sabemos que es un atleta de alto rendimiento. Pero es curioso que Ibai desmienta de esta forma a Shakira, ¿no? Diciendo que en realidad Gerard no es de ir al gimnasio.
That's so funny that someone close to Gerard would say that he probably doesn't go to the gym that much.
Y en cuanto a lo de vas acelerado, creo que le trata de decir que todo lo hizo muy rápido, ¿no? O sea, tal vez que formalice muy rápido con Clara o que no le dio como una oportunidad de rehacer la relación con ella. No sé, ¿tú a qué crees que se refiera con eso de que va acelerado?
Yeah, I think she's saying that his behavior is very impulsive and that given that they were together for like 12 years, he's not really thinking things through. He's not being mindful about his behavior. So she's saying, oh yeah, you look so hot and you're sexy because you go to the gym a lot, but like, hello, think about what you're doing. Hello. I'm assuming that that's what she means. The next lyric is fotos por donde me ven. Aquí me siento un rehén, por mí todo bien.
Pues bueno, como te decía, ahora hasta se volvió un sitio turístico la casa de Shaki.
Yeah, the first few times that I heard the song, that line specifically made me very emotional. If she just said, fotos por donde me ven, aquí me siento un rehén, and afterwards she didn't say, por mí todo bien, I would feel so heartbroken. I mean, I know that she still feels the way that she describes, but it's good to know that she's like saying, it's okay, because no matter what happened, I know I'm in a better place now without you.
De hecho, la siento como un poco resignada, ¿no? Como diciendo, pues, eso es lo que me tocó y bueno, lo acepto.
Yeah, with that lyric in the video, that's where she holds up her hands and puts her wrists together to show that she basically feels like she's being arrested, which I think you said reminded you of the Ciega Sordo Muda video.
Pero también creo que es una forma de decirle, don't bother, I'll be fine.
Ooh. Yeah, and then the last like main lyric of the song, because after this it starts to repeat, is where she says, yo te desocupo mañana y si quieres traértela a ella que venga también.
Que me imagino que cuando a lo mejor ella se mude a otro lugar, pues en esa casa va a vivir Gerard con su nueva pareja.
If he still owns the house, if they don't sell it. And I think it's kind of weird because she's like, I'll move out tomorrow if you want, but like they literally announced their breakup almost. They basically announced their breakup like the better part of a year ago. You know what I mean? So like, does she really mean that? But we don't know what's going on with the kids. I'm sure that she wants them to finish the school year or something. So yeah, but that's just like a very bold thing to say. Like, oh, if you want this house, you can bring, you know, you're the girl that you cheated on me with, have at it.
No sé si en algún momento él le reclamó o él también quería quedarse en la casa, pero pues yo creo que ya no había forma de que siguieran viviendo juntos.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be living together anymore, obviously, because they're not together and are clearly not getting along well. But yeah, that's crazy that she was like, yeah, you can bring the woman that you cheated on me with. And yeah, from there, the rest of the song basically just repeats, you know, para tipos como tú, blah, blah, blah. A ti te quede grande and all of that. And then at the very, very end, Visa says, it's a wrap. How would you say that in Spanish? That's something that someone will say at the end of a movie or when you're recording. It's like, ya se acabó or something
sí,
like that.
Sí, básicamente será igual, lo mismo. Sí, se acabó. Okay. O ya está, ¿no?
Ya está. Which I was going to say is the very last thing that they say, which is ya está, chao. Which I know we talked about in other episode.
¿Qué te digo? Yo siento que es una forma de decir, ya hablé lo que querían saber, se acabó, ¿no? Sí, bye.
Sí, se está lavando las manos sí. Y ya.
El trabajo está hecho.
Lo hecho está hecho.
Sí, también.
Exactly. So, wow. So much to say about these lyrics, Sam. This is crazy. There's just so much chismecito and so many messages that we received for La Contestadora. I think we should make a third part about this song, which is crazy, but this song deserves it. It's still at the top of the charts.
Nunca pensé que fuéramos a hacer otro episodio. Shaki fans, siento mucho la espera, pero valdrá la pena cuando nos estén escuchando.
All right, Shaki fans, remember that you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ShakiPediaPod. There's so much chismecito to discuss for this song, and we look forward to telling you everything that we dug up in our next episode coming out in 2 weeks.
Shaki fans, queremos saber qué opinan de nuestro análisis de la canción. ¿Les gustó? También queremos conocer sus teorías o algún detalle que se nos haya pasado.
And I would love to know, do you guys think that the theory about Shakira finding out PK was cheating because of the jam in her fridge was true? Tell us everything.
No olviden decirles a más Shaky fans que nos pueden escuchar en Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, entre otras plataformas. Dejen sus reviews, nos encantaría leer sus opiniones. Recuerden participar en la encuesta y pregunta de este episodio a través de Spotify.
Parece que esta canción es solamente un déjà vu que nunca llega a su final, así que en el siguiente episodio seguiremos hablando de Bizarrap Music Sessions number 53. Yo fui Callie.
Y yo fui Sam.
Esto fue
Shaky
Stadia.
Volumen 2. ¿Por qué están pasando tantos aviones hoy?
No me fijaba antes o no pasaba tanto.
No, sí, están pasando muchos vuelos hoy.